Mr. Johnson, my. No matter what and how bad it gets, the cross gives us the victory, don't it?
Amen.
Certainly does. Won't you open your Bible tonight to Mark chapter 12? We'll go to Mark chapter 12 and kind of use a text there. I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight on the subject, basically, of the church and state. You hear so much about separation of church and state. And I'm asking folks out in Radio Land to listen, and I know this is probably one of the thinnest Sundays after the rain this morning. Let me say this, I was proud of everybody that came in spite of it. It was flooding at church time this morning. I'm proud of those that worked the buses, and even though it hurt us, we still had over 300 on the buses. And praise God for that. Praise God for those that don't let the weather stop them from being faithful, amen? And I know it would stop some folks, and rightfully so, in some cases where they're just not strong enough to make it. But again, we thank God he's given us the radio station for folks to still keep up with us. And we're praying that some folks are even going to help us tonight by getting on the phone and helping me spread a message that needs to be spread. Now, in context here, Mark chapter 12, the Lord Jesus is being challenged by the Pharisees and the Herodians, which would be a political party. After, of course, you spot the name very quickly, Herod, King Herod crowd. Says, and they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians, watch it now, to catch him in his words. They're trying to trap him. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teacheth the way of God in truth. Now that's a real butter job right there. That's a real buildup. They're setting a trap. So they praise him. Now they get it all down. Here's the trigger now. Look at it. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now they just set him up. We know you don't care about the person of man. What are you going to do with this, with the government, with Caesar? Shall we give or shall we not give? Watch this. But, crossing the street now, he, Christ, knowing what? Their hypocrisy. And said unto them, why tempest ye me? Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And you can check all that out. It's not the same penny we got today. It's supposed to be about 7 pence or something like that. Doesn't matter. It's a coin. Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. He slipped right out of the trap. It didn't work. Didn't work. Isn't it amazing how folks would try to trap God? That's who Jesus was. I'm surprised today that folks still try to trap God every now and then. Try to paint him in a corner. Try to find a way to get around his rule book and so forth. But they're trying to trap Jesus here with government. Do you understand in the Bible that the Bible symbolizes government and calls it a beast? Read the visions of Daniel. What does he see when the four beasts rise? What are they? They're world governments. What do you do when you get to Revelation chapter 13 and you got the beast and the false prophet? And what is it the Antichrist is going to take over and try to set up? It's the kingdoms of this world. What was it that Satan tried to tempt Christ on the Mount of Temptation and tell him, get up here and look at all the kingdoms of the world and I'll make them yours if you just bow down to me. You see, it's all about a kingdom. I won't open that sermon up very much, but in Psalms chapter 2, you find out God's going to set his king on Zion's hill. Amen. And the kingdom belongs to the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a battle over it going on planet Earth, and Satan is trying to take it, and he'll have it for a little while under his man, the Antichrist, but that's not my message tonight. The enemy of the church down through history, to a great degree, has been government. Was it the Roman government under Nero that threw the Christians to the lions and under other emperors also? Sure. Sure it was. If you look at the emblem that symbolizes a government, it'll always be a beast of prey. The bear, Russia. The lion, England. And just going down the line, even America, we have a bird of prey, an eagle. Do you know any nation that has an emblem that signifies, say, a dove? Uh-uh. There's a vicious nature about government in the world. And many times through history, it's been the enemy of the church. Now we see some truths from the Bible, and I'm going to say just a little bit from this text right here, what this text would teach us. To begin with, it teaches us to recognize both church and state. Both are ordained of God. Romans 13 tells us that God ordains government. And the duty of the state, though, as it's outlined in Romans 13, is protection and to be ministers of good and to punish evil and to praise good. That's it. Now, in the Dark Ages, religion used government to a great degree. I mean, do you understand that the Spanish Inquisition had the favor of government on it, though it was being carried out by a church? Understand? So-called church, yes. Yes, you look back through the Dark Ages. Is it just a phenomenon that happened back then? Oh, no. How about Islam today? Islam today is a political movement as much as it is a religious movement. Need to understand that. Their plan is to have a caliphate or a kingdom of Islam, a government, if you please, under the Sharia law, their law, based on their so-called religion. But hey, they got no qualms about using force like any government. And they are using it today. And that's, again, I don't get off on that. But this text recognizes both church and state, and it divides both church and state. This is where the American Revolution and our Constitution enters the picture. Today you have a cry like this that goes out and it says, I wish that preacher wouldn't mention politics. Well, if it wasn't for preachers preaching politics, you wouldn't have an America. In the very beginning, brother, the revolution was carried and the news was carried and the challenge was made from the pulpits of America. You check your history on it. Preachers got up and preached, and a candidate wouldn't have stood a chance to get voted in early America if he was not a Christian. Help yourself. That's truth. That's true. Early American Revolution, you know what the King of England said about what was going on in the colonies when they were revolting against him, and finally the Revolution of 1776. You know what he said about? He said, it's the Black Brigade, because preachers wore black robes or black suits. And he said, it's the Black Brigade. He said, the parson is in bed with the rebels. And the parsons were. They were declaring from the pulpits of America freedom, and freedom from the king. That sort of thing is history. Our trouble is America's forgot the history. And after our revolution and the Constitution entered into the picture, we understand that it, I said it this morning, it was a grand experiment that the world had not ever seen to turn the people into power, and the government was of the people and by the people and for the people, and that was God's hand had, hey, you don't take 13 little colonies of farmland and plowboys and defeat the greatest army that the world had at that time. And that's what happened. That is what happened. You see, the pilgrims, even when they come over on the Mayflower, they didn't come over looking for gold. They come over looking for a place God could be honored in freedom. They came over to get out from under the state church of England, which even though they'd split with Catholicism, still they'd come out with that same stuff of ruling over the government and over the people. And so persecution was great in England when the pilgrims loaded up to come to America, what is America now, of course. Now, the pilgrims fled England and fled a state church. And the First Amendment story in America is a tremendous story. You ought to know something about it. And I can't take the time to cover too much history tonight, but I want to say this. You have a man by the name of James Madison that was very big in the early days of our country, especially with the Bill of Rights having being added on to the Constitution. You have a Baptist preacher by the name of John Leland. John Leland realized James Madison was running for office and running to get elected, and John Leland, a Baptist preacher, held meetings everywhere, going around, he was preaching, and some of the folks in the congregation told James Madison, "We're going to vote for Leland instead of you because of this thing of having freedom and not having a state church come in." See, every colony was naming its own church state. You know why Maryland is named Maryland? That was the Catholic Church. You have Congregationalist Church in New York and other places. Rhode Island became the Baptist colony, and yet the truth was that was just like England was set up with a state church, and they didn't want that. So the time came, and the Revolution brought the preachers together, preaching to be free from England, and they united to lead in that battle and brought us ultimately our freedom. And then the Constitution, and then James Madison, and the Bill of Rights. John Leland was a Baptist preacher, and there's still a park, if you want to go to it, in Virginia right now, that they claim the tree is still there. I don't know. I haven't been there. I've read about it. They claim in Virginia the tree where Leland, the Baptist preacher, John Leland and James Madison, both riding horseback that afternoon, came on purpose to meet each other and had a meeting that afternoon on that tree. And Madison promised the preacher that if I get elected, I will put a bill in there that keeps it from being state churches. And that's where the First Amendment that we have today came from. That's why that park and that tree right now honors the fact that these two men, and one of them a Baptist preacher, that gives us the freedom of separation of church and state in the right way. Amen. And that amendment that says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It came with those two men meeting that day, and the promise of Madison was he'd get that on the books. And he did. Leland didn't run, but promoted Madison. And Madison's wife's name was Dolly. James and Dolly Madison had church held in their house. And a number of churches was started in Washington, D.C. You got to understand something. When our new government came, that city was planned out. And before you had what we'd call a lot of subdivisions or houses around, they built the state buildings first. So guess what? For 60 years, churches was held in our government buildings. And our Congress and president and government officials attended those churches. Does that sound like what they call separation of church and today, state today? No. Today, it's an amazing thing how they flipped the First Amendment around from what it originally meant. Now, the First Amendment tied government's hands to keep them from meddling with the church, controlling the church. Now, churches were meeting and started in Capitol buildings. Andrew Trimble was a preacher that started a church in Thomas Jefferson's home. Now, today you'll hear the liberals quoting of Thomas Jefferson about this thing of separation of church and state, but they're flipping it backwards. It's not mentioned in the Constitution. In fact, the term that Thomas Jefferson used was found in a letter. The letter still exists. A letter written to the Danbury Baptist Association, assuring them that he would keep a line between church and state, that the same thing that had happened in England, a state church, would not happen over here. That's where the term was. That's the only place you find it. You don't find it in the Constitution whatsoever. I'm just giving you a little background of history here. I'll move on in a minute. But this verse out of the Bible would divide both church and state in the right sense of the word. Now, it also restricts both church and state. Draws a line that shouldn't be crossed. in the sense of government controlling the church or the church controlling the government. That's a line that's very important. Now, when it comes to taxes, in the early years, do you understand that the government would tax people to give it to the church? Do you know that the Church of England in England had tax support? Do you realize the colonists didn't want that over here? Do you understand that taxes was taken up to support the church? And there was a time, even in some of the colonies in America, that if you didn't go to church, you could get fined or penalized or even arrested for it. Mandatory church attendance because they were copying. I'm talking about before the revolution now. I'm talking about when they were still under England. That was what was practiced over there. I'll talk to you ushers just a minute. Do you know what happened on Sunday morning? A lot of those folks went to church because they didn't want to get in, quote, legal trouble. So they'd go to church and go to sleep, especially on some of the boring stuff that was going on. So the ushers were given long poles with a ball on the end of them, made out of wood. And they went up down the aisle like a pool cue and pop people on the head when they started to go to sleep. Now, that's the truth. That's not all bad, amen. Seen a few needed popping, amen. But with all that said and done, that was state and church united. And as America got free, it wanted free from that business. It didn't want to give taxes to the government to pick out a particular church and give it to them. Neither did they want the state taxing the church. See? So I'm talking to you about this thing dividing the church and the state and restricting both church and state. Taxes not used by a state church, neither taken from a church by the government. Now, we have this term used today, and I had it down there at the meeting the other night, because after the meeting, how many of you heard it on the radio? All right, good. But after the meeting, I talked with them a little bit too. Now, here's the thing. They talk about the church being tax exempt. In that bill they're trying to pass to raise the water fees, they are saying no nonprofits will be exempt. Now, number one, they do not have the right to usurp the First Amendment to the Constitution. They have not that right. But they're saying you won't be exempt. Now, the word exempt is not right to use to a church. The church in America has never been taxable. It has been non-taxable. The government did not grant its exemption. It never was able to tax it in the first place. That was our forefathers that knew that and incorporated it into our written documents. Non-taxable. Now, I'm going to kind of let that bring me up to date a little bit as to where we're at today. Again, remembering, it says Congress shall make no law. Now, listen, the laws of our land, if you start at the top, it's Congress. I hate to say it, but all the troubles we got in America comes from 545 people. 436 in Congress, another 100 in the Senate, and the President, add them up, and 9 Supreme Court judges. So anything that's going on in America, you got 545 people to blame for it. That's amazing that we got that many causing all of our troubles. If we don't like inflation, point to them. If you don't like high taxes, point to them. If you don't like the corruption in government, point to them. That's all. Why, you can put all them in this one room here. There's something wrong. Something bad wrong. Well, I get off of that. I'm just simply saying something here that to bring us up to date. In the old days, in the revolutionary days, and many days since then, preachers were not muzzled. They didn't have to even fear the IRS. It didn't exist till 1913. You know what's happened today? Preachers have gone to the pulpit so afraid they're not going to be politically correct. They go to the pulpit so afraid because the IRS might take my tax exemption away. What we need is some preachers with some backbones that'll stand up on their hind legs and say, thus saith the Lord. If we hadn't had that, we wouldn't have an America to start with. Well, that's where we're at today. We didn't have an IRS until the 16th Amendment come in. Now, here's what happened, though. Others saw the church free and was able to get in on it and abuse it. No doubt that happened. I gave you a little bit of the story of it. In 1954, that was a good year. That's when they gave me my diploma from high school. Whether I deserved it or not, that's another question. But 1954, Lyndon Baines Johnson was running for the Senate out in Texas. And it looked, he thought it was a shoe-in. He had a little unknown name running against him that he didn't even think was any trouble at all. But there was a rich oil man by the name of H.L. Hunt and another man that owned a big newspaper. And they feared that Lyndon Baines Johnson was going to be soft on communism. So they began to campaign against him. And they began to run in the newspaper, which is free, by the way. The press is free under the same First Amendment that sets the church free. Freedom of press, you hear it all the time. Nobody's attacking that, right? Just the part of the religious part, the church. Now, H.L. Hunt began to print material and put it out against Johnson. And Johnson saw that he was in trouble where he didn't expect to be. So he was already a sitting senator. He was running for re-election. So he goes back to Washington, D.C. And in a closed door, under the table deal, he goes in and he gets an amendment put in. They didn't even debate it, but it was put in by voice vote. And that amendment created what we work under today called a 501(c). And many of you know what I'm talking about, position. It didn't exist till then. And he got the bill passed that if you were going to be tax exempt under a 501(c). And by the way, in court today, a church is still already, before that was free, and they're still free after that. But most loaning institutions today won't loan to a church that don't send to the government and get a certificate of 501(c). Yeah, we have one. But we were free before that. And if we didn't have it, it was a volunteer thing. So I don't open that can of worms except to say that come in with Lyndon Johnson to shut up the people that was passing out the literature against him when he was trying to get reelected. Now, all of a sudden, there's a category established with the IRS, 501(c) position. So guess what? Some people move in on that. A fellow by the name of Roger Baldwin, if you do a little studying. Roger Baldwin is the founder of the ACLU, and that gives me a better taste just to pronounce it. I call it the American Communist Union. ACLU, against everything godly, everything biblically, everything morally that you can speak of, and causing all kind of trouble. Roger Baldwin got in on the 501(c) deal. He got in on that. Preachers began to be afraid to speak because the IRS was threatening and taking your tax exemption, taking your 501(c) category away. And so they began to shut up. There was a woman then by the name of Margaret Singer, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood, which has more blood on their hands when they stand before God. They also got tax exempt. You got all kind of crooks and charlatans that have been declared nonprofit under 501(c). And that thing came about because of the deal with Senator Johnson. I don't think he had the churches in mind, but I think the churches got the ricochet off of it and got hurt by it. And he was trying to fight back on his political campaign against Hunt and the newspaper and so forth. Now, here's our problem today. Through the years, government, small and large, city, county, state, various places, through the years, have tried their best to find a way to tax the churches. It's an amazing thing that they can't recognize the people sitting in the pew already paid their taxes. And when we have the right by the Constitution to come and assemble, then they're going to double tax us again if they can tax the offerings that we take up. That's where we're at right now. There's some major, major effort going on right now with that. Now, buildings have even been taxed and even been sold, church buildings, because the taxes were not paid. I'd give you some firsthand experience right here. When I came, there were not very many people here. We had the little building over here. I know at least one lady sitting out here tonight that'll remember something about this. I found out that the church was receiving a bill from the county seat down here, Bartow, for taxes on that one little building, that one piece of property where we were holding church. And the tax collector down there was expecting us to pay it. Yeah. And I'll never forget when I got him on the phone. We had a fuss fight. It's probably the biggest first fuss fight I've had. I've had some bigger ones since. And it was only $500. And he said to me, "What are you fussing about? It's only $500. And I said, "If it was 5 cents, you wouldn't get it." He said, "I'll put a lien on your building." I said, "Put one on it. We're not selling it." And we had a big fight. He lost. He lost. Even later on, several years later, he tried again when we built the gym right over here. He tried to tax it, saying it wasn't a church building. So I said, "How about coming out here on Sunday morning and looking and seeing what's going on in that building? We got Sunday school classes in that building." Of course, he didn't come, and of course, we didn't pay the tax either. And that's going on and on and on through the years. We've had those kind of run-ins. I had a preacher, good preacher, independent Baptist preacher, call me on the phone one night. He was scared. "I just read in the paper that my church building is up for sale. People can buy the tax certificates on it because we did not file a paper and pay our taxes." He said, "I'm going down there in the morning." I said, "Going down there to do what?" He said, "To pay it." I said, "No, man, don't do that." But he was so scared he did. You say, what'd they do? They took his money. They'll take yours if you go down there anytime. And you'll have a hard time getting it back. They'll do that. They'll do that every government. Be it city, county, state, they'll just take your money if you'll give it to them. If you don't know your rights, they won't tell you your rights in many cases. He did. He paid it. He never got it back. Oh, it's been a few years back now. There's a Haitian church in the county. I don't speak Haitian very well. But they came to my office. Preachers did. Preachers and deacons came to my office. Secretary brought them in, and after a while, I finally was able to understand enough what the issue was. The issue was that a county deputy had come out to serve them papers to take the building. To take the building because somebody had bought up the tax certificates on it. And I told him, I said, "It's pretty late trying to..." They told him to move out, get your stuff out. You got a week or whatever. I said, "Don't move nothing." And I got on the phone with the county tax collector, and we had a good old time. And I said, "Look," I said, "here's what's fixing to happen. I'm fixing to call the newspapers. I'm fixing to go to the pulpit and to the radio." And I said, "We are going to have some trouble over this." He said, "Preacher, this man's already bought up the certificates." He said, "How can I give his money back?" I said, "Talk to the county about it, because nobody else is going to pay him back. My church isn't, and their church isn't. You had no right to start with." He said, "Well, they didn't fill out the right form." So what? The Constitution's the only form you need. It's called the First Amendment. And so, by the way, they're still in their church. And we never paid a penny of it. And I remember, I said, "I don't care where you pay it or who you get to pay it, or or if the man lost it. I said, far as I'm concerned, if he's dumb enough to buy a certificate on a church building, y'all lose it. I don't know what they did with it, but we stopped it. It just, folks need to stand up for the rights that our forefathers gave us and our Constitution that gives us that First Amendment right. My soul, I wish I could get folks to wake up to some of that. Now let's get it a little closer to home. Governments are looking for money. The recession is on. Do you understand what happened even right in our area? How many of you remember the housing bubble? How many of you remember when right here in Haines City, you couldn't hardly find a house for sale? And if you did, it was double priced. And I said at that time, what goes up comes down, something's fixing to burst. And it burst. And it's not been good since. And you read the paper about how few housing starts. And all the big plans that was made. All of that business. Now, you know what the common citizen did when the burst come? You know what this church had to do and others? We had to tighten our belt. We had to cut back. But government don't like to cut back. What they like to do is find another way to get some more tax money from the citizens. No matter what they do with it, they've got to keep it coming in. Keep it coming in. There was a memo that went around. Some of our church members know about it here. Some maybe 2 years ago, I don't know, maybe a little longer, maybe a little less. An inner secret, quiet memo that went around in the area of Polk County. And it said a good way to raise revenue. Boy, they got some beautiful terms for stealing your money. The way to raise revenue is to put taxes on storm runoff water. Now, this is kind of interesting. You know this big rain we just had? That's God's rain, and they want us to pay a tax on it. Now, you say that's simplified. Well, I can't get it simple enough. I'm wondering when they're going to figure a way to tax us for the sunshine or the wind. Amen? It's an excuse. That's what it is. Oh, they say, but the runoff water goes to the lakes. Where in the world do you expect it to go? That's why the lake's there. It's in a low place, amen? It fills up all over the world. By the way, you don't get any purer water than what falls out of the sky. It's really distilled water. Oh, you say, but it washes the dirt in the lakes. Well, been doing that since the flood, since Noah's day, amen? Oh, amazing, folks. Amazing what I'm talking to you about tonight. Now, government's looking for money. Recession hurts. Hurts everybody. Government don't want to cut. And even little cities like ours are in on it just like others. Now, I'm going to give just this much. I'm going to say there's some good people involved in our city government. Maybe some not so good. I'm going to say this, some of them may be honest, some of them may not be honest. Some of them may be deceived, some of them may be knowledgeable. That's not my call, I don't know. But I do know one thing, when you cross the line and start trying to tax God's house, God's church, you cross the line to where this old preacher's going to holler at you. There's no doubt about it. And I want to say this to folks listening to me on the radio tonight. This old preacher is getting to be old. And I'm just wondering what's going to happen in this area when I drop out if somebody else don't pick the baton up and run with it. I mean, don't let me do your dirty work. Some of you pastors of the church, you ought to wake up. Let me ask you, do you care that the government's hand is reaching in your offering plate that you could send to the missionaries? You don't care about that? Before I get through tonight, I'll give you a couple of things that might make you care. Truthfully, governments are looking for more money, even little cities, and they present it as a problem. Now the EPA, environmental outfit, that's a bunch that if we could blow them away, if we could dig a hole and bury them, we'd be so much better off in this country. It'd help the economy from one end to the other. Environmental Protection Agency. How did God ever take care of his creation before they come along? It's amazing. Storm water runoff. Gonna tax the businesses. That's why I said call a business. Gonna tax the churches. They say it's mandated. You heard me tell them the other night, it's not mandated. It's not mandated. I'm holding right here in my hand the statute they claim that mandates them to tax us to take care of the water that rained today and got on the streets. Oh, no. No, see, there's a little thing little cities like us and others have, which is called home rule. You ever hear that? That means we can boss our own doings. Home rule. Now here's 403.0893, storm water funding. Dedicated funds for storm water management. I told the mayor the other night that there was no mandate. Here's the word. In addition to any funding mechanism legally available to local government to construct, operate, or maintain stormwater systems, a county or municipality may. Big difference in that in the mandate. Big difference. You know what a mandate is? A mandate has a time limit on it. It has a penalty if you don't reach it. Penalty of law. Tallahassee's not telling Haines City to do anything. Don't blame it on them. The governor we got now pretty well seems to be hated because all the liberals write against him in the newspapers. But one of the things that got him elected was he campaigned on stopping rules and regulations that was choking business to death. And you ought to pray for him. He could do what he said he could do. In spite of the liberals. This thing, I keep on reading it. And it's got the word may, 1, 2, 3 times. And now may sounds voluntarily. When my little grandson was, I think, 4 years old, he was over at our house, and Sonya asked him to do something. He didn't do it. She asked him again. He still didn't do it. And I come by and I said, "Don't you obey your parents at home? Don't you do what they tell you to do at home?" He said, "I may and I may not." You may or you may not. That's a choice. Amen? My soul. It's ridiculous what people get told and believe anymore. No, there's no mandate. There's no mandate. Haines said it can set the price, any price they want to, or no price at all. They may or they may not. That's it. Now, stormwater runoff, taxing the businesses, taxing the churches. Increasing it. I was a little bit shocked and when I heard down there the other night that the public supermarket area out there was paying $2 a month. On the stormwater runoff tax, $2 a month. By the way, they're raising it to $2.50, and then they're raising it to $3.25. And Walmart, with the big area that they have covered under pavement and under roof, they were paying $2 a month. You know what Landmark was paying? $40 a month. A little something out of balance somewhere. Amen. Now I got an article here. It's put out by the Alliance Defense Fund. It's called "The Church and the State, a Taxing Issue." I won't read it all, but it's certainly good. And here's a little part of it here that talks about the shrinking revenues of government and how they're trying to find another way, some deep pocket they can get in. So driving up revenues, it says, from transportation, utility fees, to storm water fees, to drainage impact fees, churches around the country have been battling indirect efforts at taxation by zealous local officials. Hope you got that. Now here's an instance. See, you see, if we don't stop this thing now, it's going to grow like a monster. Here's a case where it grew. For instance, the city of Mission, Kansas, which recently instituted, get this, a driveway tax on all properties within its limits. The city intended to pay for road and street maintenance and repairs by taxing the number of trips in and out of the driveway of each property. Incredibly, the churches were caught in this. See, they don't want to call it tax. They call it a fee. Well, what else is a tax but a fee? What's more astonishing is that the tax burden for churches was calculated by the number of seats in the sanctuary. The city said each seat in the sanctuary generates 5.9 trips in and out of the driveway each week. I guess they're measuring that by a faithful congregation. I don't know. Every seat, 5.9 trips in and out of the driveway. City officials then multiplied the 5.9 trips per seat by the number of seats in the sanctuary to arrive at the amount of tax the church was required to pay. The bottom line, every time people went to church, they added to the church's total tax burden. This is truly a tax on church attendance. Now, can you imagine having the usher stand at the door and say, folks, can't come in unless you paid your tax? Hey, that's what it mathematically figured up to. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, in Landmark's case, here's the new methodology. See, we had a little tax. We were paying $40 a month. I don't know why we were paying so much more than others. Others paying $2. Houses was paying $2. And a lot of big businesses was only paying $2. And if they'd increased it a little bit by a dollar or two, that would have made a little bit of an increase. But that's not the way they figured it. They changed the methodology, the method of figuring it up. So now here's the new method. See, the $2 was charged on a partial, like, all right, that's your property, that's your home, and now they've changed it. Now the home can't be bigger than 1,900 and whatever it is, 800 feet, just a tiny less than 2,000 for you to stay at that rate. If it goes over 2,000, then they start adding on. Now, I'll tell you something. There's a lot of homes in Haines City that's over 2,000 square feet. So there is going to be a bump up for the common citizen when it's figured. But who's going to hurt the worst is the businesses and the churches. By the very nature of church, you have to have a big room to put people in. And you need parking. Now, the way the new methodology is going to work is they're going to measure the square footage of your roof, not your floor. Do you understand the gable roof has more square feet in it than the flat floor? So they're going to measure the roof. Now, they're going to measure every sidewalk, everything that's covered with pavement, and the bill even says land that is compacted, like hard clay. We'll measure that. That's what the bill says. I got it. I got a copy of it. Now, listen to me. When you start measuring that square footage, it don't take you long to run up into hundreds of thousands of square feet. And now you're going to multiply it out by the money, $3.25, what it reaches within 2 years. You're going to multiply that by the 800 square feet, almost 2,000, and you're going to multiply that out. Now, I did the arithmetic on our church here. Not all of it, just this right through here, come out to $1,000 a month. And by 2 years, be $1,200 a month. Again, I said it in announcements a while ago, I support a lot of missionaries for that. Do a lot of things with God's money other than that. Now, the other thing is, what are they going to do with the money? Nobody's talked about that. What are they going to do with the money? Why, you believe, listening to it the other night, that they had a treatment plant down there where they treat stormwater. No. No. They have a septic tank plant over here. You can smell it most any day you want to for a mile. We pour bleach in the restrooms around here. When it gets so bad, we can't hardly stand it. That's the only treatment plant they got, and it's not working very well. They don't have a stormwater runoff plant. They don't have any plans to build one. They're not even claiming they're going to build one. They claiming they have a system. What is the system? Same system they had when I was a teenager around here. Bunch of pipes running here and there. That hotel down there is even older than me. Can you believe that? I'm pointing the wrong way. I'm pointing at the picture. It's older than me. You know where the water's going on? Same place it went when I was a kid. So where it's going. They haven't been changed. They haven't been improved. Or if the pipe rushes out, they'll fix one sometime. Now, I'm being a little facetious because I'm mad about the thing. And I'm not going to stand for it. And I hope I don't lose any friends over it, but if I do, we'll just suffer the consequences. Because I'm not putting up with this junk. Just not going to do it. I'll be down at the workshop this coming Thursday. And I'll have my input down there. Now, I want to tell you folks something. I'm the kind of preacher that would rather spend the money with attorneys than I had to give up the right for the church to stay free. Now, I hope it don't come to that. I will be contacting, starting in the morning, I will be contacting some of the Christian law associations. I'll be probably putting a call in to this one I just showed you a while ago, because they're already in a battle of two, so they already got a lot of homework done. The ADF, Alliance Defense Fund, I'll probably be talking to them. Now, that's too bad. But if I'd have rolled over and played dead from the day I arrived here as pastor, I don't know this work would be here. I don't know this ministry had been in existence. Except we defend the rights that God raised up a country, gave us a constitution, set the church up in a special way that nowhere else you could find it. And America's been used of God with free churches, untaxed churches, to send the gospel around the world. Amen. And that's God's plan. And I don't want to face the Lord and saying, I surrendered. I'm not surrendering. No, I'm not. I'm going to say this. We better wake up some other folks. Now, I'm going to give a pen of rose on the manager of the Sunny Citrus fruit plant up here on top of the hill, because this thing was kind of quiet. And he spotted it, because it's going to cost them. He said, my rate went up by 5,000%. So he sent a letter out to the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce sent us one. So I called him on the phone and found out what was going on. And that's why I was down there fussing about it Thursday night. Now, again, I think we got some good people. I wonder how much the commissioners, though, are informed. I'd like for one of them to walk me around and show me the stormwater treatment plant. I'd like for them to show me where the money is going to be used to build a new one. Not a new one, just build one. Just build one. No, that's not what it's going for. It's not what it's going for. I'd also like to know how much money is in reserve in the city treasury. Amen. Don't have me this business about being broke. You're not broke. I'm going to get that figure before Thursday. Amen. I got a right to get it. I'm going to get that figure before Thursday. So you folks can pray for us, and I hope you will. And God can get a hold of this thing. This is ridiculous. It's a little thing, little charges. I was not griping about the 40 a month, even though it was more than anybody else I know in town paying. I wasn't griping about that. I am griping when it gets to the figures they're talking about now. It just can't be. It just can't be. It's just not right. And businesses in this town, measure your roof and measure your parking lot. Can you stand $200 a month, $500 a month, $1,000 a month? It's added to your water bill. And if I heard the man right down there the other night, he wanted to add it to the next bill. Well, we got it kind of tabled, and we're going to work on it. And I think maybe there's some of the commissioners going to try to find a way out of it, and I'm sure pray they will. it's ridiculous if a church that's helped the community as much as this one has. What was that building before we took it right there? It was the biggest eyesore in town. With the vandals messing with it and the bums sleeping in it at night. They wanted to fuss about saying, well, it was a fire hazard. If it had been a fire hazard, it wouldn't be there. They went there and cooked their soup in the middle of the floor. Broke the chairs up and built a fire. The only reason the building didn't burn down is it wouldn't burn down. Right. But all that funny business. Now, this text tells us God recognizes church and state. They both got their place. It restricts each one within the bounds. What's Caesar's and what's God's? And I go a little bit further and say that both church and state's going to answer to God Almighty. Matthew 25 is the judgment. Don't turn to it. I'm finishing up. I'm going to quit. Matthew 25, you read about the judgment of the sheep and the goat nations. When? When Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. Oh, yeah. Nations will face judgment. And we know the criteria is how they dealt with the Jews. We understand that. But nations don't get off free. The Bible says that the wicked shall be cast into hell. I think I used the wrong word. Turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. All nations that forget God. Yeah. Both church and state will answer to God. As a pastor of a church, I'm going to have to face God for what I could have prevented if I could have. I'm going to have to face God whether I compromised or stood true to the book. I want to face him as the best I humanly can without compromising what I know he's already told me is right and wrong. Boy, they're compromising on every hand. Churches are. Read in the paper today where a homosexual was ordained as a minister. Homosexual ordained as a minister for the first time in that church denomination. Yeah. Compromise. Selling out. You know, our forefathers paid with their blood for us to have the freedom we have. And to have a church that just rolls over and plays dead. Hey, the church has been in a conflict with Caesar from the beginning. That shouldn't be so unusual. And America gave the church tools it's never had before to stay free. And that's what we need to do. I tell you what I want to do tonight. We're going to give an altar call. We just about always do. I haven't preached the gospel. If you're here and you're unsaved, you ought to know one thing. This is a sign that your time's running out. This is a sign that you're not going to always hear the gospel on every corner and always have the opportunity to be saved. No, it's fast passing on. But I want to say to you, as God's people, God's still on the throne. I don't believe he's pleased that we would take $1,000 a month and give it to the city instead of the missionaries. No right for that at all. So I want us to do the one thing we can do and will do, and it's the best thing we could do, and that's pray. Let's pray. The altar call tonight is, will you commit to pray about it this week? I don't want to spend God's money in court. I don't want to give it away wrongly. I want to be fair. I want us to care our share, but I want to say a tax is a tax. I don't care, brother, what is the cliche? A rose would smell the same by any other name. So does a skunk. So does a skunk. Don't care if you call him a dog. He still smells the same. Amen? And there's something smelling about this. Bad. Let's go to God with it. Let's go to God with it. Let's pray about it. And then let's do what we can. And I'll report to you If I know anything different by Wednesday night, I'll report to you. Yeah, I'll report to you by Sunday. I hope I have good news. I hope I don't have to take up an offering and say we got some lawyers to pay. I hope I don't. But I will before I let this thing just float on by. And I'm just wondering how many other churches. You know, I got on the radio, didn't have much time when I found out about it. Got on the radio one day, replayed the tape the next day. You know how many Baptist preachers I saw at the meeting the other night? Or preachers, period. Now, I could have missed some because I was sitting on the front row. Somebody said, why did you sit on the front row? I wanted to hear them and I wanted to see me. That's why. Sure did. I saw one Baptist preacher and he told me I heard about it on the radio. And he's a new man in town, hadn't been here for a little while. Now, the rest of the preachers, and there's some good ones in town, they need to get on the horse. They need to get on the stick. They need to get with it. Unless they've just got more money and they know what to do with it. And don't care how it's used. Amen.